silent prayer. Amen. In just a minute, we begin our hymnal session. Let's sing the first hymn, hymn number 7. Hymn number 7.
Standing on the promise of the Lord. Standing
430. Sing hymn 430.
Let us pray in silence to prepare our hearts for the service. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our Friday night service. Let us sing hymn 24. Sing hymn 24.
Wonderful words, wonderful.
last stanza. Thank to the grace of the Lord that we are able to continuously worship our Lord Jesus. Now we will kneel down and pray. We ask our Lord Jesus to lead us and to guide us in our study. Let us all together kneel down and pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Are you
Amen. In Jesus' name, let's continue to study on our topic that relates to take root downward and bear fruit upward. But for this part of our study now, we will use the topic to bear fruit upward. To bear fruit upward. This is the first part of our study. Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31. Isaiah 37, verse 31. Verse 31. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. This already we have spent two sessions for our study. Today we must take root downward and bear fruit upward. Before we continue to study on bearing fruit upward, let us do a quick revision. In the past two sermons, we have studied on five areas. Number one, the process of the growth of a grain. The process of the growth of a grain. Firstly, it begins with the sowing of the seed. So it begins with the seed, then the seed will germinate or it will sprout. And this is when the root will begin to grow, to come out. So this stage, it is the stage that it will take root. From the germinating, then now it process to the blade, or we say the leaf. The leaf will now come out. And from the leaf, then the ear. The ear means the part of the tree or the flower that in the end will give off the grain or the fruit. So this is the process of the growth of the grain. From the seed, then it will germinate, then the blade, the ear, and in the end, the full grain where the fruit is there. And secondly, we have studied how a tree or a vine is planted. Thank the Lord, today, the church, we are the field of the Lord. And how are we planted? So we are planted with the seed. And this seed, it is the words of God. Today, through the words of the Lord, we are able to understand the truth concerning His salvation. Then when we receive water baptism, we are planted in the Lord. Thus, the tree, since it is planted by the Lord, it must grow, it must be able to take root downward, and in the end, to bear fruit. But take note, if the plant is not planted by the Lord, in the end, it will be uprooted. So today, when we say the church, the field of the Lord, we are planted, it must be through the seed, the word of the Lord, the truth, and in water baptism. Thirdly, after that, the tree, since it is already planted, now it must take root downward. When we say take root, today we must be rooted in our Lord Jesus. And when we say we are rooted in the Lord Jesus, today the root must go downward. Why? So that the root able to receive the nutrients from the water and the soil. So when we say the water, it represents the Holy Spirit. And we say the nutrients from the soil, the words of the Lord. So today we must take root so that we're able to receive the goodness, the help, the benefit which comes from the Holy Spirit and the word of the Lord, so that we are able to be a healthy tree. And why must take root? So as to be able to withstand the scorching sun, the heat from the sun. And when we say to withstand the scorching sun, it tells us to be able to withstand tribulations, persecutions that arises because of the word. And of course, also to take root so that the plant able to withstand the strong wind from the storm. That is to say, the trials, the punishment, or the chastisement that we will face. All right? So today we must take root downward. It is of importance. And fourthly, we have run through, we must then, after taking root, to bear fruit upward. When we say to bear fruit, we must be a good tree to bear good fruits. And when we say bearing fruit, it must be throughout the whole year, according to the seasons. And to bear fruit till the old age, when we are old. All right? So when we say bearing fruit upward, throughout the whole year, throughout our whole life, from the day of baptism until the end, we must continue to bear good fruit because we must be a good tree. But we know some, they may not be able to bear fruit due to their weaknesses and because they have not received the nutrients. Thus, time will be given, a period of grace. In the parable that we have run to, it tells us about 3 years. It is a time period, a very long time, seeking for fruit, but no fruit. But yet the vine dresser says, leave it alone, give it one more year. And this one more year also, it is a time period that we may not know. But let us not today cross over the time of God, the time limit of God, because God's kindness, God's patience, God's tolerance, there is still a limit. So today, when we are weak, let us quickly turn back. Let us bear fruit. If not, then it will the tree or the plant will be cut. It will wither. Then in the end, to be thrown into the fire to be burned. And when we say this fire, it is hell. Lastly, point five. We have also run through the requirements for fruit bearing. Today, to be able to bear fruit, we must abide in the Lord. When we say abide in the Lord, means in His words, in the love of the Lord, in following His commandments. So if today we abide in His word, we abide in His love, we are those who follow His commandments, we are always in the Lord. And because we are in the Lord, we have life, then we will bear fruit. And of course, for us to be able to bear fruit, what is the next requirement? We need the water. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And then we need to be taken care of, cultured and cultivated, most probably by others, those who are better in position, those who are better, well-known in the words of the Lord, they are stronger. They are those who are able to continue to guide us, to nurture us, to counsel us. And of course, we say another requirement so that we're able to bear fruit, we must be pruned. At times, we will put, we have to go through trials and chastisement that we're able to bear fruit. All right, so these are the 5 areas that we have done in the past. The process of the growth of the grain, how a tree or a vine is planted, to take root downwards, to bear fruit upward, then number 5, the requirement for fruit bearing. Now we will continue our study in relation to bear fruit upward. Let us read John. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 8. John 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is a requirement of the Lord. The Lord Jesus, He is the true vine, we are the branches. Thus, today, He requires that we bear much fruit. And this is to prove that we are the believers of Jesus, we are the disciples of Jesus, we are the true disciples of Jesus. It is seen through the fruit. And the upper portion says, by this my Father is glorified. So today we must bear fruit upward so that the Lord God will be glorified. And it is a proof to others, where others are able to see that we are truly the disciples, the followers, the believers of Jesus. And with this, we are able to edify others, to encourage others, so that they too will come to believe in the Lord, because they are able to see fruit from us. All right? So let us today make sure we firstly must take root downward, then to bear fruit upward. Now we will spend some time to study, when we say to bear fruit upward, what fruit? What fruit? Number one, what fruit that we must bear? Fruit that befits or worthy of repentance. The fruit that befits or worthy of repentance. Let's refer to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 8. Bear fruit that befits repentance. A very clear statement here. Bear fruit that befits repentance. When we say repentance, what do we mean by repentance? Repentance has this definition, the change of the mind or the change of the heart. It relates to the reversal of decision. Now, maybe because we are weak, so in our heart, in our mind, we are very determined to do this. But then we realize, what am I doing? Why I am like that? Then we want to repent, means not to do what we have said. So when we say repent or repentance, it tells us about the change in our mind, the change in our heart. It is now the reversal of our earlier decision. And from the Bible, we know repentance is an important teaching. Repentance relates to the requirement of salvation, and it relates to our spiritual well-being, and it relates to our reformation. All right? So repentance is a very important requirement. And we know in the Bible, let's run through quickly, four examples of those who preach or taught about repentance. Point A, John the Baptist. Let us read Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thus, John the Baptist, wherever he went, he asked the people to repent. Example B, our Lord Jesus himself. Let's refer to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus preached repentance. And we know the message to the seven churches. So out of the seven churches, two are very good churches. Thus, in the message to the other five churches in the Revelation, the message to the other five churches in Asia, the Lord says, repent, repent. If they do not, then what will happen? All right, so Jesus, he stresses on repentance. Example C, Apostle Peter, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We are very familiar. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thus, Peter says, repent. Chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Again, Peter told them, repent. Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Peter said, repent therefore of this wickedness of yours, and pray that the Lord, that is possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. Many times says repentance, and it relates to forgiveness. Let's also read one more, which concerns Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. In his second letter, his last letter, which also tells us about matters which relates to the second coming of Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. All right? Peter stressed a lot on repentance. Example D, Apostle Paul. Let us refer to Acts 17, verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. All right, so we can see from John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, to Jesus himself, then to the very two important servants of the Lord, Apostle Peter and Paul. They all preach and taught about repentance. So remember, we say we must repent. But take note, just now we say we must bear what? Bear fruit that is worthy, that is befitting of repentance. So please take note, not only to repent, but we must manifest the fruit that is worthy of repentance. If today we say we repent, we continue to fall into our weaknesses. We fall. We want to fall how many times? 10 times? 10 times we still do the same thing? Is this repentance? I don't think so. And we have not manifest the fruit of repentance, the fruit that befits, that show forth truly we repent. All right? So remember, repentance is important, but we must be able to manifest the fruit of repentance. Acts 26, verse 20. But declare first to those at Damascus, then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the country of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and perform deeds worthy of their repentance. It is very clear. The first requirement that they should repent. It is shown by them turning to God. But yet Paul still stresses on what? Perform the deeds worthy of their repentance. Alright, so not only to say we repent, but now to bear the fruit that show forth that really we repent. Thus, when we say fruit worthy of repentance, it refers to the deeds, to the doings, to the works and the action that indicate that there is a change of our mind, that there is a change of our heart, and that there is a change of our attitude. Thus, remember, not only today we must have a resolution, but this resolution must come with determination to change, but it must be with deeds and action. This is the what we mean by fruit of repentance that is worthy of repentance. The author of Hebrews, he was very concerned of those Jewish converts of the Lord. In the second round of persecution, they were in danger of committing apostasy. Thus, the author of Hebrews wrote to encourage them. Let us turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. This is an important encouragement from the author of Hebrews. He encouraged them that they must go on to maturity. Alright, go on to maturity, to strive forward to the stage of perfection. Today, we must not be a babe, especially in our faith. We must grow in our faith, but we must come to the stage of maturity or perfection. Thus, he says, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Take note, not laying again the foundation. Thank the Lord. In water baptism, what has the effect of water baptism? Let us refer to Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Please take note, in water baptism, the blood of Jesus is present in the water because of the work, the witness, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus is there. That through the blood of Jesus, our sins are able to be cleansed. The author of Hebrews here, he stresses on the conscience, the inward, internally. So, by the blood of Jesus, in water baptism, purify your conscience from dead works. Alright, from dead works. Thus, that is why, just now in chapter 6, he says that we must go on to maturity, and not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. What do we mean by dead works? What do we mean by the dead works that is already taken away, washed in water baptism? So these dead works tell us about the sin that leads us to death. This is dead work. Let's refer to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 7, 24. Romans 7, 24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Because of sin, the wages of sin is death, and even the body causes the body of death. When we say dead works, it refers to sin. And thank the Lord, in water baptism, we are delivered. Let's refer to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God make alive together with him, having forgiven us of all our trespasses. Earlier, Paul says, you were dead in trespasses, means dead because of sin, the dead works. But thank the Lord, we are already now, having our sins forgiven of our trespasses, make alive again. So these dead works will not lead us into death. But in Christ, we have life, we will have the hope of eternal life. And when we say dead works, what works are these? Works of darkness. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Romans 13, verse 12. Verse 12. That night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Dead works are the works of darkness, done in darkness. What do we mean by dead works? The works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, and so forth. Thus, let us remember, the author of Hebrews says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, that is not to continue to sin, not to continue to lead a life doing the works of darkness, and not giving way to the flesh to do the works of flesh. All right? So today we must be very careful that these dead works must no longer come back to our life. Again, I say, we must make sure that these dead works no longer come back to our life, or no longer come back to life and to cling to us. We must not come to this stage or the state likened to Esau. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 17. Hebrews 12, 17. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Let us not come to this stage. When we are weak, let us turn back. All right? Let us repent. But all the more, we must bear fruit that befits, that is worthy of repentance, to show forth that now really I have a total change in my heart, a total change in my mind. I will now reverse all the decisions, all the bad decisions that is in my heart and mind that I intend to do, but to continuously to lead a victorious life, overcoming the dead works. We pray really that the Lord help us in this. Point number two, what do we mean by bear fruit upward? What are the fruit that we must bear? The second fruit, fruit of the words of God. Fruit of the words of God. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 and 20. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 and 20. Verse 14, the sower sows the seed. Verse 20, but those that were sown upon the good soil are the ones that that hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. We know this very well, the parable of the sower. The words, it is sown. And the soil tells us about the heart. The heart, the condition of the heart. It is a good soil. Verse 20. But those that were sown upon the good soil, the heart, that are the ones who hear the word. So take note. This verse tells us they hear the word and accept it, then able to bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But let's cross-reference. Let's cross-reference with Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 23. Matthew 13, 23. As for what was sown on good soil, that is he who hears the word and understands it, indeed bear fruit. The upper portion tells us they hear the word and understand it. So there are two different things. Number one is hear and accept. That is Mark, Matthew, hear and understand. So when we mix all this together, we must be a good listener. We must hear the word of the Lord. After hearing, we must understand. Then we accept. Or you say we hear, then we accept, we must understand. These are important requirements that we are able to bear fruit. And from the parable of the sower, we know there are the three other seeds that fell. So the seed that fell along the path where the birds came and devoured it. Matthew tells us, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what is sown in his heart, what is sown along the path. They hear, but they do not understand. That's why the devil takes the word away from the heart. The next seed, those that fell on rocky ground. Since there is no depth of the soil, there is no root. And when the sun arises, so they were scorched by the sun and withered away. This refers to what? What are believers? In the chapter 13, 20 and 21. Verse 20, for what that was sown on rocky ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures a while. And when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they falls away. The second problem, never take root. There is no root. That's why they fall away. The third seed that fell upon the thorns, that is choked by the thorns. Who are they? Chapter 13, verse 22. Matthew 13, 22. As for what was sown among the thorns, it is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. There are two sides of this, two extremes. The cares of the world, anxiety. Wow, like now, what about my livelihood? I'm not working, I do not have pay. What about my livelihood? So this cares of the world. But another extreme, the delight in the riches. They continue to pursue, to seek after the world, the things in the world, the riches of the world. All right? So these are the seed that fell on the thorns and in the end, took them, proved unfruitful. Thus, from the parable of the sower, let us be very careful. Today, when we hear, please take note, we must hear with understanding. Then we must hear and we must accept it. Not today to hear and not understand. And hear because they do not understand, and some they do not take root. And because some of the cares of the world delight in riches, in the end, they are not able to bear the fruit of the word. Thus today, we must bear the fruit of the words of God. So how to bear this fruit of the word? We must hear with understanding. Let's refer to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. Nehemiah 8, 2 and 3. Then verse 7, the lower portion to verse 8. Verse 12, the lower portion. Nehemiah, we read chapter 8, verse 2 and 3 first. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Here says all who could hear with understanding. Verse 3. And he read it from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning till midday in the presence of the men and women and those who could hear with understanding. Again, hear with understanding, and the good point, and the ears of all people were attentive to the book of the law. They were very attentive. They could hear with understanding. But thank the Lord also, in verse 7, the lower portion, and verse 8. Verse 7, the lower portion, and verse 8. The verse 7, the Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their place. Because the law, it is read in Hebrew. They just came back from the captivity in Babylon. Most of them, now they speak and hear more of Aramaic. But the law of the Lord is in Hebrew. So when we say the Levites help the people to understand, means like today, there is interpreters to interpret it into Aramaic. And in the end, verse 8, and they read from the book, from the law, clearly, and they gave sense, gave the meaning, so that the people understood the reading. Verse 12, the lower portion. Verse 12, the lower portion. They make a great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. From Nehemiah, many times here says, they could hear with understanding. All right? So today, make sure when we hear the words of the Lord, when we study His words, we pray the Lord give us understanding. And the next requirement that we are able to bear the fruit of the word must be implanted in us. The word must be richly in us, then we be a doer of the word. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the upper portion. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the upper portion. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the word must dwell in us richly. Let us also refer to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 and 25, the lower portion. James chapter 1, 21, 22 and 25, the lower portion. Verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. James tells us the word is what? It is called implanted word, means the word will take root in us. Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We jump to verse 25, the lower portion. Verse 25, the lower portion. Being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. All right, we thank the Lord. So we must today take root downward and we must bear fruit upward. So what fruit today that we must bear? Number one, the fruit that befits or worthy of repentance, and the fruit of the words of the Lord. May the Lord help us. Now we will conclude with our service. Let us sing hymn 307. 307. Let us go back to the Lord. Let us turn back to Him and repent. May the Lord guide us. Now let's all together kneel down and pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you.
Thank the Lord. We'll end our service here. The Lord bless.